Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
Bernie Marino is looking out for himself, not us. Marino is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Marino has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask New People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
The 49ers just released their 53-man roster, and Elijah Mitchell is out for the season. My dad and I will discuss that more and more next on the Cone Zone. Welcome to the Cone Zone. I'm Grant Cone. That's Lowell Cone. Big day for the 49ers. They just trimmed down their roster to 53 players, and there were some surprising moves. So we're going to talk about our major takeaways from today's transactions. The big news from today is that former starting running back Elijah Mitchell is out for the season. The Niners placed him on injured reserve. I'm not sure what the injury is, but he is not eligible to return. This is his last year under contract with the Niners. It seems like he may have played his final game with the 49ers. What do you think of this?
Well, it's not surprising because the poor guy gets hurt a lot. And the Niners are really, really deep at running back. I mean, they were able to release Breida the other day, and Breida still has a lot left in the tank. So not surprising, and unfortunately for Mitchell, not a big deal.
Right, because they have Jordan Mason, and they recently signed Patrick Taylor Jr., who's going to take Elijah Mitchell's spot. They also drafted Isaac Garendo. So that's the news there. I think it's kind of important to remind people what the difference between a releasing a player and waiving a player is.
Please.
Okay, so certain players were released, certain players were waived. The ones that are waived typically are young and former draft picks who were drafted a couple of years ago. So instead of going straight to free agency, they have to go to waivers, which is like a draft again. And it's in order from the best, from the worst team to the best team. And teams can have the option to just put them on their roster, on their 53-man roster. So for a guy who's waived to become a free agent, he has to first clear waivers. Every single team in the league has to say, "I don't want to claim you," and give you the contract that you're currently earning with the 49ers. And then people who get released are usually veterans who get to go straight to free agency. It's sort of like a perk of being a vet.
And the guys who get waived and clear waivers can then go to the practice squad if the Niners want them.
or they can come back to the 53-man roster if the Niners place other guys on the injured reserve list tomorrow, which I think they will. And we'll discuss that in a little bit.
Okay. Any other major takeaways?
Well, yeah, there's a lot of takeaways. I mean, first of all, the Niners were brutal with former draft picks of theirs. They waived six guys that they drafted in the last three drafts. So they waived a six-round pick this year, offensive lineman Derek Kingston. They waived their third-round pick last year, Cam Latu. They waived a seventh-round pick from last year, Braden Willis, tight end. They waived another seventh-round pick from last year, Jalen Graham, a linebacker. They waived Danny Gray, who was a third-round pick 2 years ago, and they waived Samuel Womack, who was a fifth-round pick 2 years ago. And I don't know what you think the takeaway is. My takeaway is this is a team that's not messing around, not thinking too much about the future. They're trying to put themselves in the best position to win this year, and they don't need, you know, developmental young guys on the team.
Yeah, and Iggy, let's face it, this is their last year with this bunch.
Yeah.
So what they're doing makes sense, and it's thematic. It tells you what they feel it's all in for this year. Do or die.
Absolutely. So does it look bad that they waive a tight end that they drafted in round three last year? Yeah, but that's not what they're going to be judged on. They're going to be judged on whether they win the Super Bowl this year, and that young tight end wasn't going to help them.
I would also point out that among the releases and waived wasn't Trent Williams or Brandon Ayuk.
Yeah, let's talk about that. That's a big one. So Trent Williams not released, he's not on the 53-man roster. They put him on the reserve did not report list at the beginning of camp, so they don't technically they technically haven't taken him off yet. So there's no transaction with him. How do you think? Well, what's your take with the Trent Williams situation? Apparently, he's golfing these days.
My take is that he's going to play in the first game, and they'll get rid of somebody else.
Now, where does
Ayuk stand? Is he on the 53-man roster?
Ayuk is on the 53-man roster. Yes, he absolutely is. That's because he's technically on the team. They just say he's hurt, right? They say his back's a little sore. He had to go with the team to the final preseason game. Trent Williams didn't have to go to that. So, yes, he is on the 53-man roster. And that doesn't mean he'll be playing week one, but it means that they expect him to.
Right. They haven't made any deal whatsoever. As far as, letting on, he's just another member of the team. Right, Iggy?
Right. He's just there. Like, there's nothing going on. Nothing to see here.
Is he just another member of the team?
No, he's one of the most important players in the team.
Plus, he hasn't worked out with the team.
Yeah, he's the biggest story of the offseason.
Right. And when you look at these transactions today, his name is not mentioned, so you could sneak over it. But then you think, oh, what's going on with him?
Right. Yeah, his name wasn't mentioned. Trent Williams' name wasn't mentioned. You'd have to really understand what's going on with the Niners to figure out where they stand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, Iggy, getting rid of a lot of draft picks, you gave it a very positive spin, but it also means a lot of those draft picks didn't work out.
Right. There's that. It's not a great look when you have to waive six guys that you drafted in the last 2 years.
Yeah. So, I mean, I understand why they did it, and probably I agree with it, but if their drafts had been better, they would have kept some of those guys.
Yeah, like Danny Gray and Cam Latu, those are both third-round picks.
Yeah.
That's tough to just completely whiff on those.
Yeah. So I think, although I agree with what they did, it's important to point out when a team strikes out several times.
Several times, absolutely. I think what's also interesting about the 53-man roster is they only have two tight ends. This feels temporary. They cut both of the tight ends that they drafted last year, and they kept, they cut both veterans that they signed this offseason, Eric Sobert, who I thought was going to make the team, and Logan Thomas. So all they have left is George Kittle and Jake Tongis, who was an undrafted free agent 2 years ago. Two guys. It's kind of interesting. I'm thinking what they're going to do is move two more players to IR tomorrow, Ambry Thomas and John Feliciano. That way those guys can come back midseason. So there'll be two more spots on the 53-man roster, and I'm thinking the Niners will add a couple more tight ends. Maybe they'll bring Latu back. Maybe they'll bring Logan Thomas back, but the rest of the league will have an opportunity to get those players first, if anyone wants them.
So they're they put themselves vulnerable with those players.
Yes. So if Cam Latsu clears waivers, I could see the Niners re-signing him and bringing him back, but only if he clears waivers. And he might not. Some other team may have liked him coming out of the draft.
Is he a good player?
No. Sorry. Not yet. Like, he played linebacker in high school, and then he went to Alabama as a linebacker, and then he changed to tight end, and it seems like he's a project and can't help this team anytime soon.
Okay. Did any guys make the team that surprised you?
Okay, I'm ready to say. So the tight end, Jake Tonjes, I got a direct message the other day from someone, I can't say who it was, alerting me that Tonjes was going to make the team. I don't break the biggest stories, Dad, but when I break a story, it's usually the fourth string tight end, the second string tight end in this case. So I happen to know. Some people were surprised that Jake Tonjes made the team, not me.
What do you think of him?
I think he played really well. He practiced really well. He earned the spot. He's like, remember Ross Dwelly, the guy who I always liked and would practice well, but would never actually like get the ball in games. He's the new Ross Dwelly. Dwelly's gone. They had to have someone else who's on the team for no good reason, and now it's Jake Tonjes. I think he's really good. I think he's perfect for that role.
Ambry Thomas made the team. Does that surprise you?
Yes. I thought they were going to put him on IR. So what I'm thinking they're going to do is put him on IR tomorrow because they want him to come back midseason. So if he goes on IR and Feliciano goes on IR tomorrow, then the Niners can re-sign a couple tight ends. He has a broken arm. There's no way he's not going to be on IR.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. All right. Broken forearm.
So this is all, in a way, sort of like bookkeeping.
Procedural, right? Stuff.
Yeah. Procedural bookkeeping. Yeah. Yeah.
So when they say it's the final roster, like, yeah, for today until they change it tomorrow.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Going into the season, Iggy, this team, is it better than last year's team going into the season? Worse or just about the same?
I mean, I would have to say it's worse. It's a year older. And Ayuk hasn't practiced yet. Trent Williams hasn't practiced yet. Talanoa Funga hasn't practiced yet. Dre Greenlaw won't practice for a while. Maybe by midseason they can sort of like get it together and go on a run. But right now they seem like they're limping towards the starting blocks.
Oh, gosh. I can visualize the image.
Yeah.
When I used to teach writing, I always just say, you ought to visualize your images. Limping toward the starting blocks is a good one. I like it.
Yeah. Maybe they'll get their stride, you know, at some point, but right now it's not looking so good. I mean, the fact that they had to cut all those guys from the last three drafts, I think is sort of shows where this team is at. Yes, they're all in and they're a veteran team, but they don't have the depth that they used to have because you get it in the draft. That's where the depth is. So great players, but if two or three or four get hurt, team could be in a lot of trouble in ways that they weren't in the past.
What happens to Schrader?
Schrader is another guy that they're probably crossing their fingers makes it through waivers. Let's talk about the players the Niners waived that they're hoping make it through.
Yes.
I can get a list of their all the players they waived right now. We'll go through them. Okay. Isaac Alarcon, I don't think they care about him. I mean, Evan Anderson, no. Alex Barrett, no. Shaquel Brown, no. Jonathan Garvin, no. Jalen Graham, I think they'd like him to clear waivers. They drafted him last year. Danny Gray, I don't think they mind.
Wait. Jalen Graham, explain where he plays.
He's a linebacker. He plays middle linebacker, outside linebacker. I think he's pretty good. They just have a lot of pretty good young linebackers. And I guess they felt that he was the worst of the pretty good ones. But he's actually so pretty good that he might not clear waivers. That's a guy that could end up on another team. Jalen Graham might not clear waivers.
Now, Danny Gray, what do you think?
Danny Gray should clear waivers. He's just a fast guy who hasn't done anything. He's one catch in his career. So Jarrett Kingston, they drafted him this year. He should clear waivers. Cam Latsu is going to be interesting. Third round pick from last year.
What you're going fast. Kingston is an offensive lineman.
Yeah, he's an offensive lineman from USC. They took him this year's sixth round pick.
Okay.
Latu's another one. Tanner Mordecai.
I hope he clears waivers and he goes to the practice squad.
Yeah, I'm thinking Cody Schrader and Tanner Mordecai are two players the Niners are really crossing their fingers don't get picked up.
Right. They would like them.
They would absolutely like them. And maybe another team wouldn't pick up Tanner Mordecai because they haven't invested in him and he doesn't know their system. But I think the Niners are really hoping he stays here.
Okay.
That'll be interesting to see if he does. Center Drake Nugent from Michigan. That was Harbaugh's center. They like him. He's gotten waived. And Braden Willis and Sammy Womack. So there's a lot of guys they drafted that are going to be waivers.
What about Womack?
This was his third training camp with the team. I just don't think he's good enough. I don't think they'll bring him back.
Okay.
He didn't play well in the preseason. Yeah.
I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
For a lot of these players, this is a very sad day. For a lot of them, they knew they'd make the team. And then there's another group that's like, whew, I made the team. But the guys who have to get, you're out. Do you feel bad for them?
I do feel bad for them. I can only imagine how abrupt it is when your career ends as a professional athlete. Some players get like the whole goodbye tour, like if you're Kobe Bryant or Larry Bird, but most pro athletes, their careers just end. They just get a phone call or a text and there's a meeting and then it's thanks and goodbye. And that's it.
Yeah.
It must be really, really hard. Now, for a lot of these guys to get waived, I don't think they have that mindset. Like, oh my God, my life is over. My career is over. They're thinking, okay, but I could get signed in a week. I got to stay in shape. I could be back on the practice squad. I could be on another team's practice squad. Like, I think they're those fringe roster players who aren't deterred by a day like today.
Right. Right. Yes. They don't see it as a door closing.
Yeah, they don't see it as the end of the line, although it is for certain players.
Yeah, it is for certain players.
Yeah.
And, well, the other thing I would say is I do feel bad for them. I put myself in their position, and I'd probably start crying, you know. But I believe in a world of free choice, and they chose to be in this system. And part of the choice is the possibility that you'll be cut.
Yeah.
So, in a sense, they haven't chosen to be cut, but they've chosen for the possibility of being cut.
Yeah.
Whereas you and I are in different fields, and we could have been cut also, but from different things and in different ways.
Yeah, and you think of like being a professional athlete as like the coolest job in the world, and you know, it's a one in a million opportunity. But even for guys who make it to the league and don't quite become stars or starters, man, it's a quick in and out. And it's not glamorous at all. You're not a celebrity. It's painful. You get chewed up and spit out, and then it's over. And then you could tell your family and your friends, like, I was in the NFL, and that's great. But it's not like you made a fortune or even made a name for yourself.
Like, I think of Trent Taylor.
Yeah.
He came in. He tried.
Yeah.
He's been with them before. I don't know if he lives in the Bay Area. My guess is he was probably staying in a hotel. Probably the team has a deal with certain hotels or motels where they get a rate and they eat at dinner at somewhere. And then all of a sudden you pack up your gear and you check out of the hotel. It's pretty grim.
Yeah. And you probably wish you'd never been in that hotel and you hate that hotel and you're thinking about, is there another team in the NFL that wants me, or do I look outside of the NFL, or do I start looking into being a salesman, real estate?
Yeah,
absolutely. All right. Well, our show is, as you know, presented by the Sleeper app. We got some sleeper picks to make before we talk more about the picks. I mean, the cuts that are in. Let's see if the Niners are in yet. No. Yes, they are. Okay, we're in business. Brock Purdy, 245 passing yards, more or less against the Jets week one, 245.
I'd say fewer.
Fewer.
Robert Saleh that's a hell of a defense, Iggy. Iggy, that defense could be better than the 49ers defense.
Yeah, I think it statistically is, and I don't feel comfortable betting the more for 49ers offensive players this early in the season when all this stuff is going on, no Trent Williams. And the Jets in town. I'm with you on that one. How about McCaffrey? 86.5 rushing yards week one. Hasn't practiced in 3 weeks.
It's funny. I want to say fewer. I believe the Nerds are going to win that game, by the way.
Yeah.
But I want to say fewer. So even though I'm coming out pretty critical in my sleeper picks, I actually do think the Niners are going to win that game. We'll talk about it later. But I'm going to say fewer.
Yeah, I think.
And I'll give you another reason why fewer. Because I think Jordan Mason is going to get more carries than he did before.
Agree. And I just have a feeling this is going to be a low-scoring game no matter who wins.
I agree.
Aaron Rodgers, 231.5 passing yards against the Niners. More or fewer?
More.
231 is a low number.
Especially for him.
Yeah.
Let's say more.
Okay.
Unless he can't play anymore or he gets hurt again, but I can't factor that in yet. I don't know anything about him except that he's a Hall of Fame quarterback.
Okay. Well, those are the picks we're going to make. Those are the three they're allowing us to make. Purdy, McCaffrey, Rodgers. Let's put 25 down just to make it interesting. 25. And if I get all three correct, which I always do, we'll win $143. Let's submit the entry. Boom. Simple as that. You guys want to play, download the app, use promo code CONE, COHN, get a deposit match up to $100 in your first deposit. All right. If you're just tuning in, we'll give you a little brief recap. Elijah Mitchell, done for the season. Here's something interesting, Dad. Talanoa Hufanga, activated. He was on the PUP list for, I don't know, a day, and now he's been activated, and it seems like he is, I don't know if he's going to play week one, but he's not on the PUP list and doesn't have to sit out for 4 games.
Are you sure?
Let me tell you why I say that.
Look at the list again.
Let me tell you why I say that. Tom Pelissero of NFL.com tweeted at 1:46 p.m., the Niners activated Talanoa Hufanga from the PUP list.
They did it today.
I know
today.
They placed him on the active, physically unable. Maybe that's their way of activating him.
Okay. All right.
So
good, because you like him, and he's a good player.
Yeah, he's one of the only players on the team who doesn't hate me. And I like that about him. I think that really adds to his skill set as a player.
Mostly of them you think hate you?
Yeah, I would think so.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, I like that. Could we stay with that for a minute?
Sure.
Before we move on? When you say most of them hate you, we know Jimmy hated you, but he's, you know, who's Jimmy? Do you think Kittle hates you?
No, I don't think he hates me. I don't think he likes me.
No, I don't think he likes you either. I think he likes to mess around because he has a good sense of humor, and he knows that you can have a give and take. He can have a give and take with you, that you're clever and all of that. So I think he has fun with you, but that doesn't mean he likes you.
No, not at all. Absolutely not. No. Does Deebo Samuel like me? He blocked me on Twitter. Does Kyle Juszczyk like me? He blocked me on Twitter. Does Jair Brown like me? He blocked me on Twitter. Nick Bosa blocked me and unblocked me, so he might like me. But I'm thinking any player on the team who ever liked Eric Armstead or Javon Kinlaw probably doesn't like me that much.
Yeah, but you know what's funny about those two guys? And I know about sports. Their history on the 49ers, and you become history very fast in professional sports.
It's true. Eric Armstead is so not a Niner anymore, even though he was on the team for 9 years.
He's so history. And that's they're not. Do you think they're sitting in the locker room today thinking about those guys?
No. Boy, I miss Eric. He got screwed. No.
No.
Sven says, shout out to Jimmy Ward, who liked you.
Jimmy Ward liked you.
Yeah, I was a big fan of Jimmy.
I like Jimmy Ward.
Fish and Chip says, Mum is watching 1946 vintage. Loves Lowell, says hi.
Hi, I'm 1945 vintage.
I'm 1988. Official B&M Music 88 says, Grant, I respect your integrity for not deleting your old Lance tweets. Papa Cone, being a Niner, New Yorker, do you know how to make a chopped cheese sandwich?
No, I don't. I mean, I know how to make a corned beef sandwich.
Chopped cheese, I feel like, is a newer thing in New York.
I don't know what, I mean, I left in 1960, actually in 1962, when I was 16 years old and went to Lafayette College in Pennsylvania. And then I really left the East Coast in 66 when I was 20 and came out here to go to Stanford. I was the biggest baby at Stanford. I was a kindergarten baby.
You were 16? 20?
20. I hadn't 20. Turned 21. In the graduate English department. And there were all these older people, you know, they were shaving and stuff and they were tall. And they were really smart. I thought, am I a clerical error? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Dear Mr. Cohn, we regret to inform you, but they sent the other letter out instead.
All right. Before we end the show.
No, we got a lot more to do.
We got a lot to go. Here, I got a question. So they sent out the media schedule this week, and then they sent out a revised edition yesterday. Did you see this?
Remind me.
Okay, so originally, normal schedule, and then yesterday, revised edition, John Lynch is talking tomorrow. And I was thinking, yeah, of course, like he talks every year after he makes his final cuts. Is that all that's going on here, or is he going to be talking about a potential Trent Williams, Brandon Ayuk extravaganza tomorrow?
Okay, here's what I think. It's pro forma. He comes out. It's part of his job. So he's doing nothing different. He does not intend to bring up the subject of Ayuk or Williams.
Right.
But journalists will.
Yeah.
And he will be prepared to answer those questions. And we know he'll do it. He'll smile. He's charming. He's verbal, unless he says convicted. But he's usually pretty good verbal. And he'll find ways to talk around subjects.
Yes.
I don't think he's going to make any big announcements about the two players who have strayed, unless they make a big deal tonight. I don't know. Maybe they will.
I mean, I was thinking that maybe the Niners would want to like trade Ayuk today to like clear the roster spot and not cut someone, but it seems like they're not going to trade him anytime soon.
I think they think he's going to play for them.
Do you think that they think he's going to cave with 3 or 4 days before the season and sign their offer?
I'm not going to put it like that. I think they're both going to cave and they'll find a middle ground. As far as I'm concerned, they both suck. I take no sides in this. A plague on both their houses.
Yeah.
Mercutio. So I think they'll both cave and they'll do what they should have done a month ago.
And you think this will happen in the next week or so?
Yeah, it has to.
Yeah, because you have a bottle of wine riding on it.
Yeah.
For people who just started watching us, me and my dad bet bottles of wine on everything. And months ago, we bet a bottle of wine on whether or not Brandon Ayuk would be on the field for the Niners week one. I said no. He said yes. So he's biased.
I'm biased. Absolutely biased.
Yeah.
We went out last night and we had really had a good time.
We did. We went to A16 in Oakland, which is like a Southern Italian place. They got those Alianicos over there. It's really nice.
And they have a really nice thing. Instead of getting a glass, we want to start with 2 glasses of white wine. They have another thing. You can get a carafe.
A carafe,
which is a little bit more.
Yeah.
So we split a carafe of nice. I like Italian whites. They're simple, but they're crisp. I like that. And we got one from, you know, Campania. And then we got a carafe of Alianico. And we were having a nice time, Iggy.
We had a great time.
Yeah.
I got one more question about 53-man roster, then we can talk about Italian whites and reds. Okay, in the past, the Niners had one of these teams where they're like, man, they're so good. They're so deep. They're going to have to waive or cut a few NFL players that other teams are going to pick up. And it's like they had more than 53 NFL players, and that was the problem they had. Now, do you think they're going to have – what number is going to be larger? The number of former 49ers who are claimed off waivers or the number of players the Niners claim off waivers because they need more players?
I'd say the latter. I don't think that many people that they either waived or released are that desirable. I'm sorry. Breida. I thought Breida is valuable.
Right.
But I know why they got rid of him. I think he's a good player, Iggy. He's not that old. But I think there are very few Breida-level people that got released or waived today.
And I think what we're going to see, like, not only do the Niners need tight ends, they need defensive ends. They have Robert Beal and another guy whose name I can't quite pronounce because I never realized he was going to make the team, and he's got a lot of letters in it. But those two guys are just on the team because the Niners want bodies at that position. So if they can find someone better who's waived, they'll claim that guy.
I say no question. Yeah, so for the first time in a long time, they're searching as opposed to not having to search.
Yeah, they're dumpster diving, which is something that you only have to do if you've messed up a couple of drafts. Fortunately for them, this last draft looks pretty good, except for the first round pick. Ricky Pearsall is on the 53-man roster. He's not on any type of injured list. What do you think of that?
Do you think there might be a change with him tomorrow?
No, no. I think the change is he. I think they want him out there until or unless he gets hurt again.
I agree, because the look, it would be such a bad look, right?
Such a bad look. Yeah. All I know is that they were really downplaying everything and giving us no information. Then Mike Silver wrote that report saying, hey, he had this in college.
No,
then all of a sudden, there's been all kind of movement on this story.
Iggy, did Mike Silver write a report or did
he? Yeah, he never wrote it, did he?
No. Michael, if I'm wrong, I apologize. Let me know. But my impression is you didn't write a report. Other people did, that you correct. Mentioned it on KNBR.
Yeah, I misspoke.
But it's a different thing. It's a different certainly. Thing. Yeah.
But so, ever since he revealed that nugget, it seems like the Niners have been doing a lot of things with Ricky Pearsall. All of a sudden, he's back on the field. All of a sudden, he's feeling better. I don't know. It seems like this injury is random. It just pops out when you least expect it. So if it happens again, I think that'll be the end. Unless they just keep forcing him to play through it, which seems kind of sadistic.
I don't think they would. I mean, I wouldn't think that the doctors would allow that, would allow a young man to hurt himself like that. So I'm confident that if it comes to it, the 49ers doctors will say, this is not a good deal. You potentially will hurt this young man. And in a result, you'll hurt yourselves. So I think that's a time where the doctors would step in.
Good. I would hope so. Because there's really no reason to push Ricky Pearsall out there. Like right now, it seems like you got guys to throw the ball to, including a rookie who's looking pretty good.
Okay, let's say Pearsall gets hurt and Ayuk, goes to Antarctica for a while. Name in order their best wide receivers. Wide receivers.
Debo 1, Juwan Jennings 2, and then either the 32-year-old Chris Conley 3, just because he's a vet, or that rookie Jacob Cowing 3. I like the rookie, and I know Kyle's very nervous and reticent about trusting rookies, but sometimes they're good. Puka Nacua was incredible last year as a rookie. As a 5th-round pick, this Jacob Cowing is a late 4th-round pick, and so far he's looked...
Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health. Their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to BadlandsRanch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to BadlandsRanch.com/save50 today. If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to countrymd.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's countrymd.com/energy.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Explosive, well-rounded, good route runner, good so player.
Without Pearsall, potentially, and Ayuk, potentially, and again, they may play and they may be great. Those four that you mentioned, is that a good core of wide receivers?
I think it is. And then you add one of the better tight ends in the league, the best receiving running back in the league. I think Purdy's got options.
Okay. I love it.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the thing was, like, if you lose Ayuk, he is the number one option and he is the downfield guy and he's kind of hard to replicate. But if Cowan can be productive, like, he's faster than Ayuk. He will give the Niners that deep threat that they would be losing if Ayuk left.
Okay.
Well, he hasn't left yet. And someone just brought up, so they said they think Ayuk's going to I'm very concerned BA is going to have a Bosa start. Bosa held out all of last year, came back with 4 days left, and I think had 3.5 sacks through the first 8 games. So a bit of a slow start. Do you think that's going to be a potential issue for Ayuk and Trent Williams this year?
Iggy, I can't speak to Trent Williams. I don't think it'd be an issue. There's a difference. Bosa held out and Ayuk held in, right?
Yes.
So there's a question, which I'm not going to talk about now. You can ask Lynch tomorrow. You know the question, right?
Mm-hmm.
You could have something to talk about tomorrow.
Jay Garza says depth will be a serious problem this year. Too many wasted draft picks leaves this team very thin. Drafts are more important than the Niners treat them.
I don't disagree with anything in that comment.
Yeah, I mean, let's just go through the roster of players who you wouldn't really think are good enough to make this team or wouldn't have been good enough a couple of years ago. Patrick Taylor Jr., Jake Tonjes, Nick Zekel, Robert Beal, Sam I don't know how to pronounce his last name, Curtis Robinson, Ambry Thomas. I don't know. Yeah, I think the fact that Drake Jackson's on IR and it was a complete whiff of a second round pick, they're feeling that right now. They're feeling that one right now. Good call, Jay. You want to talk about Italian reds and whites? What's your favorite Italian red?
Oh, a Barolo or a Barolo. Barbaresco.
Of course. Yeah. Of course. Yeah.
That's from
the Brunello's the nice north. Sometimes, but you got to have a B. It's got to have a start with a B, end with an O, then you're good.
Yeah. And yeah. I my favorite wine in the world is Italian wine, Italian reds.
Sure.
But I have other topics instead of football.
Tell me some. Okay, that's good. We should talk football.
I think so.
Okay.
Okay. Right now, we know the Niners are going to open against the Jets. Mm-hmm. Brock Purdy, Aaron Rodgers. Who is a better quarterback right now? Aaron Rodgers or Brock Purdy? Now, let me just, before you answer, all time, I'm very sure that Aaron Rodgers will go down as a better quarterback in his career than Brock Purdy will be in his career. I just think that. But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking two Monday nights from now. When they go on the field, who's a better quarterback, Brock Purdy or Aaron Rodgers?
I would rather have Brock Purdy right now.
Give me a reason.
Aaron Rodgers is 40 and he just tore his Achilles. He couldn't make it through a drive last year. It's hard to say what he's got left. He's a complete unknown. Like he's done things in the past, but what he is now and moving forward, he wasn't even good his last year in Green Bay. And that was before, that was when he was like in his late 30s and had a too good Achilles. And he's nuts.
He seems to be, let's say he seems to be a very strange person. And he seems to be getting stranger.
Yes.
And I believe there'll be problems between him and Salah. I do.
Certainly.
So I would agree with you. I think that Purdy is a known quantity, and he's very good. And he'll be better, unless he gets hurt, better this season than ever before.
Yeah.
And the other guy is clearly on the downside of his career. And I think the Jets were crazy to attach their star to him. So, yeah, I would rather have Brock Purdy on my team than Aaron Rodgers. So we agree on that.
Agree. I got another little nugget for you. This is a little bit different, but looking ahead to the future, the Niners are positioned to be in contention this year. But we talk about the Super Bowl window. It may have closed already, or this might be the final year, because next year, the Niners already are almost $39 million over the cap. We're talking for 2025. And that's not counting any potential Ayuk extension or Purdy extension or Trent Williams renegotiation. Like that's a tough position to be in. You're already over the cap for next year. And that's, I think, why the Niners are having such a tough time figuring out how to solve the puzzle of extending Ayuk and renegotiating Williams.
Yeah. You know, it's funny, next season, not this season. Again, I don't know the contract status, but I assume that the fullback will be gone. Mm-hmm. Now, that doesn't save him a lot of money. I wouldn't be surprised if Kittle's gone, but I don't know his contract, what he has with them. And I think whatever team would get him would get a great player. Mm-hmm. But the Niners are having to pay Purdy wherever they're going to have to pay him. Somebody really good is going to have to go.
Javon Hargrave.
Yeah.
Treverius Ward.
Yeah. I mean, really good players are going to have to go.
Talanoa Hufanga. These guys are all free agents. Maybe they'll re-sign Diamador Lenore. Maybe not. He could be really expensive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So do I think this is the last year? Hell yes. Yes. I think this is I thought last year was the last year and they didn't do it. But I think this is definitely the last year. Yeah.
And what's funny is, like, I don't know if the players know it or their agents certainly do, but all you got to do is pull up this public information about where the Niners stand with their salary cap next year, and maybe it understands why so many players this year with the Niners are saying, hey, I need my money right now, guaranteed.
Yeah.
Because I see what's happening next year.
Yeah.
I don't want to be in the chopping block if I get hurt.
That's where Trent Williams is at.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and what if I have a high ankle sprain and miss 8 games? Are you going to find me expendable?
Exactly. And I want to tell you, if they ever had any ability to develop a left tackle, they should get rid of him sooner rather than later.
Can I tell you something?
Yeah.
So the Niners didn't draft an offensive tackle this year. They could have drafted one in round 2. The Chiefs took him instead, and the Niners ended up taking a cornerback who they like, Renardo Green. The offensive tackle that the Chiefs took, he's their starting left tackle right now. Kingsley Suomataya, he's been phenomenal for them so far this offseason. So sometimes it helps just to take a, pick a guy.
I actually feel, I think the Niners are a very good organization. I think Kansas City is better. Top to bottom.
Yeah.
I do. Like,
absolutely.
Yeah.
They're a premier organization and the Niners aren't yet.
Not like that. Close. They're close. And a lot of people say, well, we are a championship because we run a lot of NC, you know, National Football Conference championships. Now we're talking Super Bowl.
Yeah, that don't talk about a conference championship as a championship. That's a semifinal.
Yeah, it's the semifinals. Absolutely, it's a semifinal. So, you know, the Niners like to push certain narratives, but I reject them. I do.
They have some incredible narratives.
I understand why they do, and probably if I were them or was paid by them to write, you know, their press releases, I would think up ways to make it look really good. But I certainly don't think that that's a legitimate, you know, Jed York has engineered a lot of championships in a pig's eye.
No. So in their latest pamphlet, it was for their first home preseason game. I was reading through it. I love reading through those things. You used to show me those. And yeah. I don't know who writes them, but for Jed York, there's always like subheads because it's really important. And the first one is like building a championship team. It's like, he's never done that. So the first thing under his bio is just nothing, a big nothing. And then his mom, Denise, who's technically the real owner of the team, they write that she was an integral part of 5 Super Bowl championships. Integral means like foundational. Like Bill Walsh was integral. Eddie DeBartolo was integral. Apparently Denise was too, according to the 49ers. It's crazy what you can assert when you are writing history or rewriting it.
Yeah. And I would like to say something about Denise. You guys know who are watching. I was with every one of those championship teams. I was with Bill from 1 year after he began. In all the time I knew Bill Walsh, and I wrote a book about him, he never said the words Denise DeBartolo, York. Never. He talked about Eddie all the time. He never mentioned her name. That's how he wasn't putting her down, but she wasn't involved. She wasn't involved to put that team together. I knew Eddie. Eddie never talked, gee, I sit down with Denise. He said, I sit down with Carmen, or Carmen would say, I talked to Eddie when they wanted to get rid of Bill. Carmen told me he and Eddie had some very serious conversations. He never said, and Denise. So when the people at the Niners write stuff like that, it's propaganda. And here's the other thing. Again, I don't know who the people are who write them, but they're probably much younger than I am. They don't know any of the people involved. They don't know Eddie. They didn't know Bill, for sure. They may not even have been born. So for them to make assertions like that, they should call me and ask me, Lowell, does this seem credible? Or forget me, call Ira. Call Ira Miller. You know, he's going to be here tomorrow for a big party. Call Ira. And ask him if how much Denise had to do with building those 5 championship teams.
Dad, let me ask you, as someone who was around during that time, who was more integral to those 5 Super Bowl champions chips, Denise or Jed?
I would say
they're both in the family.
Yeah, okay. I would say Jed is more integral to this bunch than Denise was to the old bunch.
Right.
Did she even have a share? I don't know if she did. I mean, Eddie controlled everything. Jed, who can't win a championship, at least is involved. Yeah. And maybe it's not good that he's involved. Maybe the mother should be more involved. Okay? Maybe the mother should be more involved. I don't think the father should be more involved, but maybe the mother. Here's the other thing, Iggy, about Denise. You know that I knew everybody at the 49ers. Iggy, I have never met her. I am 78 going on 79 in November. I knew everybody, and I've been to some of their houses. Mm-hmm. Iggy, I have never met Denise DeBartolo York.
Do you think she's in California?
No, she thinks she lives. Well, look, when you're that rich, you have a lot of houses, right?
True.
So they probably live in you know, whatever that town is. What's the town?
Youngstown.
But she probably has a place, you know, near the stadium. I don't know. Maybe she has an apartment in the stadium. Yeah. But Iggy, if she were to see me, she would have no idea who I am.
No.
I've never met her.
If I were to see her, I might have no idea who she is.
You know, she's quite a, I think she's quite a nice lady, and she's a nice looking lady. She is. I think she has very good manners, and I think she's a nice lady. But I think what I'm saying, I'm not on an ego trip. I'm saying it's impossible to have been really significant with those five championship teams, and I didn't meet you. I knew John McVay. I knew John McVay very well. I used to sometimes go into his office and we would talk. I knew Joe Montana very well. I never met this lady.
She did own the Pittsburgh Penguins, so she was an integral part of that NHL franchise. She got that going for her.
Great.
Good team.
I knew Jerry Walsh. I knew Bill Walsh's wife. I know her. Yes.
Chris V says, yesterday I delivered IKEA furniture to David Lombardi's friend, Jack Wang. I looked at him straight in the eyes and said, Grant Cohn is better. He keeps it real. Also, I wish I had a dad like yours.
Oh, what a nice thing to write. Thank you.
Thanks, Chris. Fish and Chip says, Super Bowl should have been won by now, but brain farts win. Brain farts. All Niners says, Lowell, did you watch the four-man front? What did you think? I loved when they argued opposite of their opinions. That was your idea.
Oh, you did.
We all took the opposite stance of what we believe.
I didn't watch it. Sometimes I'm mostly in the evening I read. I'm a loner in that regard. And you guys took the opposite opinions? And
we all did. It was good. It was fun.
That was my idea.
It was.
Hey, listen, I got some more stuff.
I got more stuff too. I want to go first. Okay. Steve Young was recently on KMBR talking about this Trent Williams stuff, Brandon Ayuk. Yeah. Here's what he said. He said Steve Young, Super Bowl window never closes and it's not going to close on us, but it will narrow. It will narrow significantly next year. So if the window's as open as it's going to be for some time right now, everybody needs to be on board. And that's why Trent, I think he set the market with his original contract. And I think Jed York and everybody's willing to do that because it's the best tackle in the league. And now you're going to come back and say, no, I want to set it again because there's another $8 million collectively that I can go get. And I'm on my last contract that I'm getting old. It's like, bro, do you not see what we're trying to get done here?
I love Steve. You know, I just love Steve. I mean, there's a lot of bullshit, right? And Steve, he's so smart and he's so assertive. And it's like, bro, right? We're a team here.
Yeah.
And Iggy, one of your criticisms about Trent Williams is he's never really been on the team. He's a paid mercenary.
Yes. Yes.
That's your feeling about him, right? So he doesn't care about, bro, we're trying to get something done here. Yeah. He's caring about, bro, I'm trying to get something done here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, I love what Steve said.
Yeah, it's interesting that like that's what I mean. Brock Purdy's a hell of a quarterback, but he's not exactly Steve Young yet. And if the Niners had a strong veteran quarterback like that, that's leadership. And the Niners don't have that kind of leader on this team. It's not Brock. It's not Kyle. It's not Nick Sorensen is the guy's name, who's the defensive coordinator now. I knew that. They don't really have Steve and Joe were different levels of leaders.
Are you there?
Yeah. I said Steve and Joe were different levels of leaders that this team doesn't quite have.
I think I've told you the story when they had the big celebration in the city for after Dwight Clark died. They rented a room at the Fairmont Hotel, and Carmen provided all the wine because he has this great winery. And I looked in the back of the room, and there was Steve talking to Terrell Owens. Terrell Owens is a guy who needs direction and needs advice. He is. Mm-hmm. There was Steve. I mean, they're all retired. And he's standing there face-to-face with Terrell Owens, and their faces are very close together. And Iggy has his arms on Terrell Owens' shoulders, and he's holding his shoulders. And I told you the story, and he's not lecturing him, but he's very forcefully making points. And Terrell Owens is really paying attention. And you said, when I came back and told you that, you said he was being a quarterback.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was lovely.
When was this?
It was at the big celebration after Dwight Clark had died. Ira flew in for that. I had told you. And they rented out this big, big ballroom. Everybody was there. Joe was there. Mariucci was there. Everybody. Holmgren was there. Everybody was there. And there was Steve in the back of the room, private business, arms, hands on his shoulders, looking at him. And Terrell Owens, who's the kind of guy who could tell you, go screw yourself.
Yeah.
No way. He was looking Steve, and he was drinking in
Yeah.
And what Steve said and shaking his head affirmatively. And I was very, and I wanted to, I hadn't seen Steve. And I if he's in a place, I always want to say hello before I leave, and to Joe as well. I had spoken to Joe, but I didn't interrupt Steve talking to Terrell. I waited till Terrell walked away, and then I went over to Steve and we chatted for a while.
I'm sure that that's the only quarterback who would have that effect on Terrell Owens. And I think it's interesting when you think back on Steve Young and his legacy, like you give quarterbacks credit for being able to have that kind of leadership. Like you could, like Ben Roethlisberger, it seemed like he did a pretty good job with Antonio Brown throughout the years. And you didn't really understand that Antonio Brown was kind of nuts until after he left Pittsburgh. Like certain quarterbacks command that kind of respect. And Jimmy didn't. It's not that many do. Steve Young absolutely freaking did. And Terrell Owens' best years were with Steve. And once Steve left, T.O. had no one to really check him like that anymore and clearly wanted someone like that because he still gave Steve that respect years later.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know if I've mentioned this, but I don't read many sports autobiographies or biographies because they're usually shallow and poorly written, and that's hard for me. But I did read Steve Young's. He wrote it with a guy. I don't know who it was. It's A+. And it's Steve is so honest about his flaws. And I don't mean his flaws as a quarterback, his flaws as a person. So I read the book and I was deeply touched by it. So I just, you know, wrote him an email and said, Steve, I don't know why it took me so long to get around to your book. I don't usually like sports books, but I really liked yours. And he wrote back and he said, thanks, Lowell. And he said, it's a funny thing. I learned about myself by writing the book, which is what a good writer does.
Right.
When you write about yourself, if you're being honest, you learn who you are.
Right.
And he spoke like a writer.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can't storyboard the whole thing out before you do it.
No.
It's a discovery. 49ers Talk Show said, how did Ambry Thomas, Brandon Allen, and Nick Zakel make the team? LOL. Nick isn't even a good O-line. He made the team because of Purdy. The team's not as deep as it used to be. That's how. Okay, you said there were things you wanted to talk about, then I cut you off. I'm sure you don't remember them anymore. Do you?
I do, because I have a very high IQ. We had talking about the best narrative for certain key players on the team. I'll give you an example. The season hasn't started yet. So you'd say, we don't know what's going to happen with Brock Purdy. He could get hurt. He could be bad. But the best possible narrative for him is he improves as a quarterback. Mm. He is even more precise than he was on the short and medium passes, and he develops a long game.
Yeah. And he gets paid $65 million a year next year.
And he gets paid $65 million, and he doesn't get hurt.
And he doesn't get hurt.
Doesn't get hurt. Yeah. I'm not talking
Trent Williams Super comes Bowl. Back and protects his blind side and he doesn't get hurt.
Yeah. So that's, I think, I'm not missing something. That's the best narrative. and it would be one he would welcome, the team would welcome, and fans. Is there a player that you'd like to give a narrative to?
Okay, Nick Bosa. Last year, he really had a down year, and people are starting to wonder, like, are you like your brother? Do you love football, or did you make all the money and now are you going to be one of the good ones? Not the best one. He comes back and he's the best player. He's the defensive player of the year. He plays even more than he did in the past because the Niners lack depth, and he really steps up and has 16 sacks and is just freaking incredible. And the Niners get their money's worth with him.
I love it. And that's the best narrative for him.
Yeah.
And he's an all pro and all of that stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
Best defensive player in the league, all of that. Okay, I got one. McCaffrey. The best narrative for him. He gets his ego out of the way and allows Jordan Mason to have many more carries in regular season games, especially in the first half of the season.
Mm.
Because McCaffrey is so good, he doesn't need numbers anymore, and he just got a contract. And I think he needs not to get hurt. And he's been hurt now. And I think I would love him for his narrative to start out from game one, really terrific, running. He's so clever when he's going through the line and catching passes, but allowing the other guy to have 30 to 35, maybe even 40% of the snaps. That's what I would like to see happen. And then I think, again, his numbers might not be as great, but the team would be better for it.
I love that. I mean, it seems like since he came to the Niners, his mission and their mission was to get as much out of him as they could, and didn't lead to a Super Bowl. It may have shortened his career. I don't know. He's got an injury right now. I think now is a new phase of his career. They've given him guaranteed money. He's got security.
Right.
Chill out. Use him in a rotation. Have a 1-2 complimentary. It seems like those two would be the best duo in football.
I think so. Let's face it. This Jordan Mason is really good. And I'm not saying he's better than McCaffrey. I'm not saying he should be the starting running back. But I'm saying, and not that he deserves more touches. The team deserves more touches to keep McCaffrey well so he doesn't fumble in the Super Bowl.
Yeah. And if you think of like McCaffrey, Debo, Ayuk, those are the guys that are like the knockout punches because they make the big plays. Jordan Mason, if you use him, he could be like the punches to the body, the guy who really wears down the opponent. It's nice to have a guy like that, and it seems like a running back like that makes the other running back better because now the defense is even more sluggish when they have to go get Christian or Debo.
Yeah, I got another narrative. I'd like Dre Greenlaw to become. To really get healthy. And Iggy, you figure he might come back middle of the season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'd like him to come back, not in a hurry, but when he comes back, he's the same Dre Greenlaw. And talk about a 1-2 punch. He would add so much to that defense. So those are my... do you have one more? Those are
Talanoa Hufanga coming off a torn ACL, got activated off PUP today. It would be great if he could start week one, but even if not, like if he could regain the form he had 2 years ago before he tore his ACL and he showed that he's the same player, that would be enough. That would be great. Cause he was an all pro player before he went down.
Okay. Iggy, I have one more. The head coach.
Yeah.
I would like him to use his personnel in a conservative manner, especially at running back. I would like him to have his full complement of wide receivers because I don't think any of this is his fault. I would like him to get more out of his quarterback than he has. And I would like him to look in the mirror and say, I know I'm a very good coach. I'm a very good coach of coaches. I'm a very good offensive planner for my scripted plays. Kyle, when I look in the mirror at myself, where can I improve? Where can I improve after the scripted plays and in really critical games? If I'm leading in the second half, how do I learn to close out a game and to get that mindset as opposed to just calling more plays? And I think if he were to grow in those areas, he's a Super Bowl winner. I do. So yeah. That's my last one.
I like that. I mean, he needs to find a way to relax in the crisis moment.
Yeah.
He just seems like the most uptight. He's like Cameron from Ferris Bueller, man. Like, we're talking a diamond in 2 weeks. This guy is a little uptight. And I think once it gets to like the fourth quarter of the Super Bowl, it's a little too much. And he needs to relax and understand that it's not really about him. He can mess it up. He's done that. But if they win the Super Bowl, he kind of just needs to get out of the way and let his team be the best because they're the best on paper.
They are.
Yeah.
Well, I had a lot of fun today, Iggy.
I had a lot of fun, too. Let's get the last Super Chats and get the hell out of here. All Niners says, we already got you. We already got you. Resilient Motto says, what are the upgrades being done at Levi's? Oh, man, you got me. I don't know. I have no idea. They renamed one of the lounges. It's Sharp Lounge now. It used to be BNY Mellon Lounge. So that's a big change. Niners Talk Show says, Papa Cone, what do you think happens if Kyle chokes again in the Super Bowl? Is he fired or still the coach of the team?
Well, he just got a new contract less than a year ago. Now, look, there are ways to answer that. Do I think Jed will fire him? No. I think Jed is fairly complacent. Would Eddie have fired him? Oh, yeah. Already. He would have fired him. When he didn't know the rules in overtime, Eddie would have fired him. And now there's been revisionist history that Kyle knew the rules, but I don't think he did, Iggy.
No.
And Kyle, if you did, and I'm wrong, I apologize, but I don't think you did. If I owned the team, I would have fired him already. They fired Seifert. He won two Super Bowls in eight seasons. This guy is in his eighth season, or he's already had eight seasons.
Yeah.
This is
they fired. He's in his eighth season. They fired Seifert after eight. He went 12-4 that year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you can fire George, who won two Super Bowls, this guy doesn't have enough years to win two Super Bowls in eight seasons. I would have fired him already. I would have. And then you say, well, who would you have hired? I don't know. Schleimer.
Yeah, Kyle's like George if he had lost the Super Bowls instead of won them.
Right.
Yeah. Right. Oh, this is the most important question of the show. Kev F says, favorite go-to order at Harry's Hofbräu.
Oh, that's obvious. It's the turkey plate.
It's the turkey.
That's what my father used to say, turkey.
Half light, half dark. Yes, gravy. Yes, stuffing.
Mashed potatoes with gravy.
Yes, mashed potatoes. And no roll.
No roll.
Yeah.
He gets water. I get the Diet Coke because I pretend I'm on a diet. And we get cranberry sauce. You can get cranberry sauce.
Hell yeah, too.
And I get the Caesar salad.
Yeah, and it comes out to $20.
Yeah, and we usually sit in the bar and watch a giant, not at the bar, in the bar room at a table and watch a giant.
Harris says the turkey plate.
That's what my dad. He was so sweet, my father, but he's from Brooklyn. He said things, you want to go get a burger? You want to get the turkey?
Well, my 14-year-old nephew, your 14-year-old grandson, Sam, is big into Harry's Hofbräu now, and he's learning the Brooklyn accent, which is hilarious because he has, what does he know from Brooklyn? But he can say the toiki.
Right, he does say toiki.
He does say toiki.
He says, Grandpa Lord, you going to get the toiki?
Of course I'm going to get the toiki. What do I look like? All right, that's the show. Thanks for watching, everyone. We talked about Harry's Hofbräu today. It was a good show. Dad, I love you.
I love you, Iggy. I'll talk to you soon.
Talk to you soon.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.